Welcome to Hearing Matters with Dr. Janice Gash, Founding Director of Arizona Hearing Specialist. This is a live call-in show, and your calls are welcome at 790-2040. Now, here's your host, Dr. Janice Gash.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me today for Hearing Matters. I'm Dr. Janice Gash, your host. I'm also the founding director of Arizona Hearing Specialists. We were the first private audiology practice in Tucson, and we are very proud to be celebrating 30 years of service to Southern Arizona, helping our patients hear their best and helping our patients live their best. As you heard, this is a live call-in show, and you can please call us with your questions or comments at 790-2040. Or if you're calling from the Douglas or Globe areas, you can call us toll-free at 866-725-5467. And I also recommend that you check out our website. There's a wealth of information at www.arizonahearing.com. There's free educational videos. There are several educational booklets that you can request. So, as a first private audiology practice in Tucson, we have really been fortunate to help thousands of people hear their best. And our doctors of audiology and our superb administrative staff have really built a reputation of excellence within the Southern Arizona medical and general communities. And we are also the only Audigy certified practice in Tucson and Green Valley, which what that means to you is that our professionals are in the top 3-5% in the nation when it comes to delivering superior care and value. So I hope that if you feel that you need a hearing evaluation or someone that you love needs a hearing evaluation, that you'll call our office to schedule that appointment and see about what kind of customized solutions we can provide for every lifestyle and budget. And we're also preferred providers for most insurance plans. So in Tucson, you can call 742-2845, and in Green Valley, 648-3277. I am very excited today to have as our guest Patrick Holkins. Patrick is presently a U of A law student, and he is also hearing impaired. And Patrick, welcome. I'm really glad to have you with us today, and I know you're going to tell us a little bit about some new initiatives that you had.
I am. And first of all, I just want to thank you, Janice, for having me on the show. It's a great opportunity.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. So I know that you had mentioned to me that you have been hard of hearing since the age of 4. So can you tell us a little bit about what caused your hearing loss and maybe growing up with a hearing loss?
Absolutely. I was born with normal hearing. It wasn't really until age 4 when I developed my hearing loss, and that was as a result of bacterial meningitis. And so it really kind of changed my life dramatically, really just waking up one day and not being able to hear at all out of my left ear. And in my right ear, I have a progressive sense of neural hearing loss, which has increased over the years. And so now I wear a hearing aid all the time in my right ear. It's really my link to the hearing world. And so growing up with hearing loss was a bit of a challenge for me, like it is for most kids who have that experience. I think, what can I say? Growing up, I didn't know anyone else who was hard of hearing.
Did you go to a regular school?
I did. I went to mainstream schools all the way through. And I really, it worked out quite well because at the beginning, right after my meningitis, the hearing in my right ear was quite high. It was strong, and so I was able to be mainstreamed quite effectively. It really wasn't until my high school college years that I started to have more difficulties communicating in class and things like that. And so that wasn't too much of an issue, but certainly in terms of self-identity, it was a big issue. I really, for all intents and purposes, saw myself as hearing. All my friends were hearing. My family is hearing, and I wanted to be hearing too.
Do you remember, do you have memories of losing your hearing?
I can't really say that I have too many memories of my experience with meningitis. I remember coming out of the hospital with my family, but I certainly do remember a lot of my experiences struggling initially to adapt to this new reality. And there are some funny stories as well, really, from those experiences.
Share some of them with
us. there's one that I tell all the time, and I was actually, I think, in kindergarten at the time, and I was sitting on the floor during playtime, and always happened to be next to a very talkative, loquacious kid who sat sat on my left side, and so he was talking to my poor ear, and I was never able to really hear him well, and it was a source of incredible frustration for me, just because I felt very powerless, really, to deal with him. And so one day I decided, and keep in mind I was quite young, so I don't take responsibility for these actions, that I was just going to pick him up from his spot on the floor next to me and move him someplace else. Where I just wouldn't have to deal with them. And so this became kind of a habit every day. He would sit down, I would pick him up, move him someplace else. And then it really was quite benevolent. I would return to my spot and just play normally. But my teachers were very concerned about this, and they told my parents. My dad thought it was pretty funny. My mom didn't. And so I think that was my first experience, just really, at least the one that I really remember vividly, where I struggled to communicate as a result of my hearing loss. It was faced with obstacles as a result, and so that wasn't the best way to deal with them. I think I've improved a bit.
I hope you're still not picking people up that are on your left side.
Not recently.
But it's very interesting that you did something about it rather than just sit there and be frustrated. So I guess there was that little inkling of, you know, you weren't going to get through life by just letting it pass by.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah, I think in my childlike wisdom, I kind of got that. But, you know, when I started to, when I was older and I wasn't really allowed to pick people up anymore, I actually did take the other route, which is really not one I recommend. Oftentimes just withdrawing from social situations because it really was at times very difficult for me to communicate.
Right. Did you, I have a half a dozen questions, but so let's just start back. Were you actually identified at age 4 after your meningitis? Because oftentimes, you know, when something like that happens, children are not identified early, but it sounds like you might have been.
No, that's a great question. I was very lucky. My mom is a nurse practitioner. She's just, very, very observant. And she picked up on it quite quickly. I think I was talking on the telephone one time with my dad. I think this is when she realized it. And I put the phone up to my left ear, and I couldn't hear anything. I turned to her and I said, "Mom, you know, Dad's not there." And then she tried it on the right side, and it was fine. And so she had, that gave her a very good sense that there might be something wrong. And then I saw an audiologist shortly thereafter, happened to be one of her good friends, and who's been my lifelong audiologist in Kansas City.
Oh, how wonderful. And where was this?
This was in Kansas City. This is where I grew up.
Okay.
And the audiologist is Jim Wise, and he's based in Overland Park in
Great.
Kansas.
Wonderful. And are you like many people that have been identified with hearing loss early, whenever we see them as adults, they'll sit down in the booth and they'll say, "Oh, I hate these tests."
I can't say that I enjoy my visits to the audiologist. I love seeing Jim, but I've never really enjoyed going to the audiologist's office because it mostly meant receiving bad news.
And, it's the weekend.
Hello. It's the weekend. Great. Thanks, Harry. And I think that's why, because you sit in the booth and you're told raise your hand or press the button when you hear it, and I'm sure it's really frustrating because for a long time you're sitting there and not hearing it. And I certainly know that for children it must be even more frustrating. Sometimes we'll think, oh, that child doesn't want to respond. That child's playing around with us. And oftentimes with children, it takes several different reevaluations to really determine the fact that they are really not hearing well, and to believe how they're responding. And especially in your case, where one ear was so much better than the other, it's challenging, because we want to make sure that we're really documenting correctly.
I think that's true. I think as a child, it's really difficult to come to terms with physical limitations. And whenever you go to an audiologist's office and you have a hearing loss, you're confronted with that face on. And so I didn't really get along too well with my ENT or my audiologist when I was a little kid, and for precisely that reason, because I felt like I had a problem and they really weren't able to solve it for me. And so,
or they might not have believed you in the beginning.
That's true. I think
they knew your history, so they at least were starting with more of an educated inkling that perhaps something might be wrong.
I think that's true. I mean, I think we were able to get a pretty accurate diagnosis within probably a few tests, but ultimately the real issue was just kind of a lack of trust between myself and my audiologist. That took time. That took a long, long time, probably 10 years for me really to cultivate a good relationship with my audiologist.
And then, if I remember, so you were not fit with amplification at that point?
I was, but I very rarely wore it. I had a hearing aid, a BTE,
which is behind the ear.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Sorry, behind the ear hearing aid, which I would occasionally wear when on essentially bad days. And since I was a kid, I've had fluctuations in my hearing loss. And so some days I wake up and it's better than others, and other days worse. And so I wore it sparingly. It wasn't really until 6th grade, 7th grade, when I started to wear a hearing aid every day. And I've just become increasingly reliant ever since then.
You know, and that's really interesting to me, because that's usually the age when our patients stop wearing their hearing aid. Because they'll wear it when they're younger because their parents say, you are going to wear this hearing aid. But by the time they get into junior high school, especially wearing a hearing aid behind the ear, it's something that they don't want anyone to see. So I have to applaud that, at least at that point, you were self-aware enough to know that you needed it to be able to function. So let's just take a few minutes for a break, and then I want to come back and talk to you more about growing up with hearing loss.
Thanks, James.
Southern Arizona's most powerful weekend talk, only on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
Did you know that avoiding loud noises may help prevent premature hearing loss? This is Dr. Janice Gash, founding director of Arizona Hearing Specialists. There are easy ways to identify if a particular sound is potentially harmful. Do you have difficulty talking or hearing others talk over the sound? Does the sound make your ears hurt? Do your ears ring after hearing the sound? Do other sounds seem muffled after exposure? If you answered yes to any of the above questions, the noise may be damaging your hearing. Most people don't realize how loud many everyday sounds are. Call Arizona Hearing Specialists at 742-2845 to see if you have hearing loss associated with loud noise exposure. That's Arizona Hearing Specialists, 742-2845.
The Views Golf Club, located in Oro Valley, is now open to the public. This prestigious championship 18-hole golf course offers practice facilities featuring a large putting green, chipping area, practice bunker, and a full-scale driving range. You'll love the unique desert design and breathtaking views of the Catalinas. A golf experience of a lifetime awaits you at the Views Golf Club. For tee time reservations, call 399-6880 or online at theviewsgolfclub.com.
Every so often, a surprise event catches us off guard, slugs us in the gut, and leaves us speechless. Recently, a man with bizarre thoughts and a loaded gun ignited such an event. He opened fire on a small political gathering. 6 people died. 13 others were seriously injured. Such a gut-wrenching, heartbreaking reality draws important questions. How? Why? Jared Loughner pulled the trigger, but according to the Bible, the devil, Satan, pulled the strings. He inspires all senseless, cold-blooded violence. In the New Testament, Jesus called him a murderer from the beginning. The Bible also says we're all in his sights. The Apostle Peter compared Satan to a roaring lion seeking his next victim. He wants to pull the strings to harm you, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Safety is found in one source, repenting of the sin in your own life and accepting Jesus' destiny for your future. For more information, call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM, or chat with us live at needhim.org.
You can do magic. Every dollar you donate to the Community Food Bank distributes $9 worth of food, enough for about 4 meals. Donations during these difficult economic times are more important than ever and will help feed hungry families throughout Southern Arizona. Make a little magic today with your donation to the Community Food Bank. Call 622-0525 or log on to communityfoodbank.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Hearing Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Janice Gash, and we are talking with Patrick Holkins, who is a U of A law student and has been hard of hearing since the age of 4. You know, Patrick, I want to just kind of go back to one of the things that you talked about, being a very young child and telling us a very cute story about you picking up someone who was sitting on the wrong side of you because you couldn't understand him. But you mentioned having that feeling of powerlessness, and I think that is such a profound observation that maybe you can identify it now. You probably didn't identify it at that time, but if you take that feeling, I think so many adults with hearing loss have that same feeling, but are also unable to identify what it is. And so they do that same thing. They retreat into themselves. They stop going to different social activities. It wouldn't be a great thing if they picked someone, a patient, picked up his wife and put her on the other side
wouldn't recommend it.
He could hear better. But it's interesting that, as I said, that you did something to help yourself overcome that. Mm-hmm. And so I would just, you know, suggest to the people listening out there that feeling of powerlessness is very common. And if you can identify what it is and then figure mm-hmm. out an acceptable response. It's something that we talk with our patients about a lot, having realistic expectations, but also adjusting the environment to help themselves.
Absolutely.
Because a hearing loss is invisible, and that's kind of where we ended up. When you start wearing a hearing aid, then all of a sudden the hearing loss is not invisible. And so kind of follow that story for me, because I thought it was very interesting that it was when you went into middle school that you realized, I better start wearing this hearing aid that I have.
Well, by that time, unfortunately, I didn't really have much of a choice. My hearing loss was continuing to progress, and I was struggling to hear and to keep up in school. And so I really had to start wearing a hearing aid, and I was not happy about it. Like most kids that age, I was very insecure just about myself in general, and particularly about my hearing loss. And I think that, to a certain extent, is a product of growing up in a hearing environment. We just, of course, and especially when you're a kid, you want to fit in, you want to belong. All of my friends, all of my family were hearing. I think I worried that somehow I was not as good, somehow mm-hmm. somehow defective, you know, inadequate. And that was definitely an attitude which really kind of pervaded me for quite some time, and it took several years, really, to get over it. But middle school was a challenging time in that respect. I was just kind of battling against my hearing loss. I saw it just as an enemy and an obstacle to be overcome. And that's really not. It was very much a self-defeating attitude.
So how are your parents involved in this whole process? I mean, you said your mom was really right on it from the beginning. She noticed something was wrong, and certainly that's her mom instinct, and also it's her medical training. But what
I think it's both, and I really lucked out in terms of parental support. I couldn't have asked for better parents, and when it's come to my hearing loss, they've really been with me every step of the way, and while at the same time just kind of giving me space, respecting the fact that it was very much a personal experience and something that they will never really be able to fully understand. But yeah, my mom was always the one to take me to the audiologist's office. She was always the one to essentially force me out of the house to get me there. And so she's really seen kind of the whole evolution. And it really wouldn't have been possible, you know, where I am today without their support. I think I really see them as a crucial part of my support team, and I think every person with hearing loss needs
great,
that.
Great. And you know, the similarities we see, not so many children in our practice, but certainly children even with ear infections, because ear infections can affect hearing so greatly that I would really encourage, you know, any parents who have any inkling that their child is not hearing consistently well to do something about it, because it's not going to be something that's just going to go away without.
Yeah, if I could add to that, I feel very strongly about that topic as well. I feel that really, if there's any indication that there's an issue with hearing, it's worth getting it evaluated immediately, especially when you have young children, because time is of the essence. You know, that's just a critical stage for language development, and it's one of those things where 6 months matters.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you were very fortunate that you had one ear that was so much better, especially in the earlier years.
I was.
And that you were able to develop speech and language quite easily. But it's so easy to have that development delayed. And it's more usual to have hearing loss in both ears. So your case is also, you know, unusual, because you're very unique, not different, that you have hearing loss in one ear.
Well, now it's really becoming two at this point. I mean, I've really a moderate to severe hearing loss in my right ear. And so at a certain point in my future, probably not the too distant future, I'll be looking at cochlear implants. And so, but yeah, as a child, it made a big difference, you know. But at the same time, it's kind of interesting to say this, but it was almost an obstacle in terms of just developing kind of a positive self-identity as a person with hearing loss, because the fact that I had such good hearing in my right ear initially, it almost allowed me the illusion that I actually was hearing, you know. Uh-huh. And that took a while for me to get over. And as my hearing really diminished in my right side, I was confronted with this new reality, with this fact that I really wasn't who I thought I was.
And you said that you kind of came to that realization not in till your late teens or early 20s?
That's true. It was really purely by happenstance. I was working in D.C. at the time, and on Capitol Hill, and quickly became disillusioned with that culture, and heard about a nonprofit organization called the Hearing Loss Association of America. And they are based in Bethesda, Maryland. I went out there to work for them in 2004, and I think this is right after high school. I think it was 18 or 19 at the time. And all of a sudden, you know, after essentially growing up, never having really met or befriended anyone with hearing loss, certainly no one my age, I was surrounded by really a group of dynamic, driven, and hard of hearing people.
Of all ages.
Well, of all ages. Most of them, of course, were older. HLAA, like most organizations for people with hearing loss in this country, tends to serve the 55-plus demographic. But many of the staff members and some of the members of the organization were younger. And so getting to meet them and see really how they approach their hearing loss was nothing short of a transformative experience for me, and I learned so much and continue to learn so much from them. And so that really was, I would say, a turning point in my life, and certainly in my approach to hearing loss.
So, like many people with hearing loss, whether young or old, you just avoided confronting the fact that you were a hearing impaired person. And so how fortunate for you that you were able to somehow become involved in that group.
Absolutely. You know, connecting with them just totally changed my perspective on hearing loss. Before, like I mentioned earlier, I saw it as an obstacle, really, as kind of my mortal enemy and something which I just had to, through sheer will, overcome. And that's just exhausting, you know, and it breeds kind of just a self-defeating attitude, which was really difficult to move past. But at HLAA, I really started to appreciate the importance of hearing loss as really a core aspect of my identity. And I saw how for many people at that organization, it really is not a burden. It's an important part of who they are. It is in many ways a limitation, but it doesn't restrict them in what they do. And so I learned a great deal from them. And now, you know, it really, say, right after I left HLAA and had a few years to kind of process it, I started to begin to say, you know, I am I'm a hard of hearing person, and actually to take pride in that, and that's something that I try to really promote in my community work as well.
Right, and when we come back from a break, we'll talk a little bit more in depth about some of the ways that you have embraced this, because you've kind of gone from one end of the extreme to the other. And I certainly would encourage any of our listeners out there who might be young adults with hearing loss to call if you have any questions. And let's take a break, and then we'll come back and finish talking with Patrick Holkins.
Southern Arizona's most powerful weekend talk, only on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
Do you have difficulty hearing and understanding when people talk to you? Have you been fit with hearing aids but don't use them because they don't work? This is Dr. Janice Gash, founding director of Arizona Hearing Specialists. For 30 years, I've been hearing these questions and many more like them. I'd like to invite you to call now with your questions and concerns at 790-2040 or call Arizona Hearing Specialist to schedule your appointment for a hearing evaluation at 742-2845. That's 742-2845.
This is a great time to get a new mattress at Sleep America during our year-end clearance sale.
Clearance prices on selected brand-new Sealy, Serta, Simmons, and Kingsdown mattresses.
Clearance prices on discontinued floor models and demonstrators with zero-down, hassle-free financing available.
Get amazing deals like a wonderfully comfortable pillow top for just $398 a queen set.
Don't buy a mattress anywhere until you check out the terrific savings right now at Sleep America.
Where America goes.
Before you buy a TV, you check with Consumer Reports. Before you hire a company, you check with the Better Business Bureau. So before you hire an attorney, go to azbar.org. Azbar.org has lots of great information, things you need to know before you hire an attorney, and what to do if something goes wrong. Also, our Find a Lawyer section can help you find someone in your area who understands your legal need. It's all at azbar.org, the State Bar of Arizona, serving the public, enhancing the legal profession.
Sponsored by the State Bar of Arizona, aired in cooperation with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you interested in what's happening in Tucson? Concerned about what our local government and politicians are doing with your tax dollars? Do you want our community to be a better place for our children and grandchildren? Then visit townhalltucson.com. Townhalltucson.com has local blogs that will keep you informed about what's happening in Tucson politics, government, and local news. To have your blog on townhalltucson.com, go to the site and click join. Townhalltucson.com, your place to congregate on the web and share your views and news.
Mom. Dad, I'm in eighth grade now. Those years of peer pressure are way behind me. Right now, alcohol is the last thing on my mind. So please, don't have a real conversation with me about drinking. Like you said, I'm too young, right?
Real kids are curious about alcohol. 40% try it by the eighth grade. Start a real conversation at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk early, talk often, get others involved. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Get the answers to your questions about hearing. It's Hearing Matters, only on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. Call in now at 790-2040. That's 790-2040.
Welcome back to Hearing Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Janice Gash, and we're talking with Patrick Holkins, who is a U of A law student and a hearing impaired young adult. And we were talking during the break about how people identify themselves. And Patrick, how for you, identifying yourself maybe not first as a hearing impaired person, but certainly you're a young man, you're a law student, you're a son, and you're a hearing impaired person. And being able to get to that point was a challenge for you.
It was kind of a long, protracted evolution, and it's still really going. There are really some days where I'm not as comfortable with really identifying as a hard of hearing person as others. But for the most part, I've really recognized that it's part of who I am, and there's no reason to feel any shame in that. And it's something that I try to encourage in others as well.
Good. So you were introduced to Hearing Loss Association of America while you were in Washington, D.C., which you were doing kind of as a gap year between high school and college. And I just have to say, just looking at the accomplishments that we've just talked about up to this point and what you're going to talk about for the next part of our show is they're just wonderful accomplishments. You should be really, really proud of it. I would expect you probably had to work twice as hard as any of your other friends, but you've accomplished a lot. And then the next step in your career was you were accepted to Harvard University, not a slight accomplishment, but quite a feather in your cap.
Thank you.
So what happened from that point?
Well, at Harvard, it was a great experience. It was, as you predicted, a challenge at times. I did have to work pretty hard, harder than most sometimes, just to compensate for the fact that I did struggle in class quite a bit. It really is kind of a sign of just how difficult this evolutionary process is that even at Harvard, after I had worked at HLAA, I still wasn't entirely comfortable requesting accommodations in the classroom. And so even though I was affiliated with HLAA and I had good friends who were young and hard of hearing, I still didn't really want to be approaching teachers about wearing an FM system, or I didn't want to be requesting real-time captioning in class. And so that made life much more difficult than it should have been for me. And so I had to really compensate just with hard work. And by the end of my career, though, I was using real-time captioning or CART in several classes. And I do now at the U of A Law School, and it really is an incredible thing. But my involvement in the hard of hearing community kind of waxed and waned, but by the end of my career at Harvard, I was very active, and I had started a group for young adults with hearing loss in Boston called Hear at Boston, which is still going strong, I'm proud to say.
Wonderful.
And I've got many good friends there who unfortunately I haven't seen in a while, but it's kind of a model which I'm hoping to really replicate in communities around the country.
Great. And so you started that in Boston, and then I know that you you did a year or some months in South Africa and did the same sort of thing there.
It was slightly different, but ultimately towards the same end. But really how the story starts is I received a fellowship from Harvard to pursue a public service project in South Africa, and that was for 10 months from essentially October 2009 till July 2010, which included some of the World Cup, which was great.
But good timing.
And exactly, perfect timing. And the project, though, was less about developing community resources than it was really addressing kind of core lack of services in certain parts of that country. And the program that I ultimately developed and the organization, which is called Hear Now South Africa, what we do is to provide hearing loss screening services, or really to facilitate hearing loss screening services in a rural part of the country, the Wild Coast region in the Eastern Cape province of South Africa. And so we have a great essentially early hearing detection and intervention program up and running at a community hospital there now, and with an audiologist and really all the equipment that you need to provide high quality hearing healthcare. And so we're starting to look for our next program.
And so, fabulous. And then fast forward a month or two, and here you are in Tucson, and you certainly haven't let any time go by. So tell us about here at Tucson.
Absolutely. And I'm very excited about this new opportunity, which I'm working on here in Tucson, and it's called Here at Tucson, similar to the name for the Boston group. Our mission really is to develop a community, a dynamic community for young adults with hearing loss in Tucson. And right now there are some great organizations who are serving the Tucson community. And Aloha, I would mention, is really doing a fabulous job providing support services.
And let me just state, Aloha is Adult Loss of Hearing Association. And so just as you had said before, most of the hearing impaired support groups that you became involved with really served adults. And I don't know that there's any other support groups for young adults, even across the country. So that's your difference.
It is. Yeah. It's really kind of my angle. It's why we're doing what we're doing. There are great groups, HLAA, Aloha, others like it, that provide support services, resources for, tends to be adults over 55 or 40 and up, and they do great work, but ultimately young adults, and I'm speaking specifically really of people between the ages of 18 and 35, they have different needs, they have different interests, and our goal really is to reach out to them and to develop, essentially to facilitate opportunities which really that address those needs and interests. And so that's what Here at Tucson is about.
Have you had any meetings already?
We have. We've had one event already, and that was a hike. We actually hiked through the universally accessible trail at Feliz Paseos Park in Tucson, not too far from where we are now. And that was a great start for us. We went out to lunch afterwards and just kind of discussed our goals for the group. And we're quite small still, so it didn't take much organizing. But we have another event coming up, actually this coming Saturday, and it is what I'm calling Captions on Campus. We're screening two captioned movies at Gallagher Theater, which is located in the Student Union Building at the University of Arizona. The two movies will be How to Train Your Dragon, which is PG and very family-friendly, and Iron Man 2, which is obviously targeted a bit more towards adolescents. And so both will be fully captioned, fully accessible, and also free, which is important.
Free is also very, very good to know. So let's go back to this first meeting. Mm-hmm. You said it was a small group. How small was it? Or how big was it?
Well, let's just say that the audiologist almost outnumbered the hard of hearing people. But that's not a bad thing. It's great to have support from the audiology community here in Tucson. But we really are reaching out for new members. We've got about five now, and they're very enthusiastic about what we're doing. But of course, I know there are lots more out there, and it takes time to build groups like these. And so we're going to be patient and just continue to have events month after month. And that's really essentially how it happened in Boston as well. But I would encourage anyone who's out there, even if you're 36 or 37 or 17 for that matter, and you have a hearing loss and you really want to meet others who can share your experience, who can relate to your experience, I think this is a great opportunity. And we have some really wonderful people who have a diverse range of experiences. And so I would encourage you to either send an email to us, which is our address is here@tucson@gmail.com. Or to search for Here at Tucson on Facebook. We have a group page.
Oh, great.
And you'll find much more information there about their upcoming events and about who we are and what we do.
And just to clarify for people, here using the at sign or
actually,
here AT Tucson.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, it's actually here AT Tucson at the at simple gmail.com. But our name, just to confuse you even more, is here at Tucson with the at symbol. So, but perhaps the easiest way is to search for Facebook if you have a Facebook account, and you'll find us very easily through there.
Okay. So, in Boston, You also initiated this group, and by the time you left, how many people did you have coming in? Did you have monthly events there?
By the time I left, we had been working on the group for maybe 9 months or so, and we probably had, on good days, 15 to 20 members. Now I think it's increased to, 40 plus, and so it's grown quite impressively over the last couple of years. And we do host monthly events. They tend to be social events, but sometimes educational as well. And I'm no longer running that group. There are some more capable people in charge of it, and they're doing a really wonderful job, and I follow along from afar. We're trying to replicate that success here in Tucson, and really focusing along the same lines on social events, because I think for people our age, that's really perhaps the most valuable resource that you can provide.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit more about this after we take a break, so we'll be back.
You're listening to Live Local Weekend Talk on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, and streaming on the web at KVOI.com.
There are a few traditions in Tucson that are legendary, but El Charro Cafe is one. For almost 90 years, El Charro has been serving only the freshest produce and all-natural American meats and chicken. No wonder El Charro has been honored top 50 plates in America and gold medals from Tucson Lifestyle for both best Mexican and a top 5 restaurant in Tucson. Five area locations include the newest in Rancho Sarita. Online at elcharrocafe.com. Friend us on Facebook. El Charro Cafe, since 1922.
Introducing TucsonChurches.org, your instant one-stop information connection to all local churches, ministries, Christian events, activities, and concerts. TucsonChurches.org is the new, smart, simple way to get your information to everyone who's looking for worship services and wholesome family events. Church listings are always free. Calendar listings couldn't be more affordable. Click on TucsonChurches.org to list your church or ministry, submit your calendar listing, or to find out what's happening. Go to TucsonChurches.org.
Hi, this is Doug Martin. We were talking with one of our listeners who owns a small business. He loves our radio station, but didn't think he could afford radio advertising. He advertises in several small print publications. When he found out that he could reach our audience at about the same cost as one of the print publications, he was excited. If you're in business or involved in a nonprofit organization or church, you can reach like-minded people on this radio station for less than you think. Radio stations are like neighborhoods. There are tens of thousands of people listening to this radio station, and they're a lot like you. You can reach them for a lot less than you think. Give us a call at 790-2440 and let us show how this radio station can work for you. That number again is 790-2440.
Did you know that avoiding loud noises may help prevent premature hearing loss? This is Dr. Janice Gash, founding director of Arizona Hearing Specialists. There are easy ways to identify if a particular sound is potentially harmful. Do you have difficulty talking or hearing others talk over the sound? Does the sound make your ears hurt? Do your ears ring after hearing the sound? Do other sounds seem muffled after exposure? If you answered yes to any of the above questions, the noise may be damaging your hearing. Most people don't realize how loud many everyday sounds are. Call Arizona Hearing Specialists at 742-2845 to see if you have hearing loss associated with loud noise exposure. That's Arizona Hearing Specialists, 742-2845.
Get the answers to your questions about hearing. It's Hearing Matters, only on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. Call in now at 790-2040. That's 790-2040.
Welcome back to Hearing Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Janice Gash, and we are talking with Patrick Holkins about his new endeavor in Tucson, here at Tucson. It is on Facebook. It is The email address is here@attucson@gmail.com. And it is a social group, an educational group, whose intent is targeting specifically young adults, 18 to 35, with hearing loss. And Patrick, just go ahead and tell our listeners just a little bit more about the event next week, the time, how they can RSVP, so we don't forget that, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
Thank you. Absolutely. I just wanted to briefly mention that we are operating an RSVP system, and so if you would like to attend the event, please send us an email at some point before next Saturday, the 29th, just letting us know that you're going to show up and how many people you'll be bringing. That would be fantastic. And the movies will be screened, the first one at noon, 12 o'clock, and that will be How to Train Your Dragon. And at 2:30, it will be Iron Man 2. And we will have snacks, free snacks available for both movies. So I highly encourage you to come out and support this event. And hopefully we will have enough of a positive response for us to offer this type of service every month. Our goal really is to get Gallagher Theater to start screening captioned movies once a month. And I think it's a very realistic goal, and perhaps something we can even improve on to once a week or twice a week. And right now, I think there are just not enough opportunities for captioned movies in this community and around the country. And so that's really one of our goals.
Yeah, I think that's great. And we were talking a little bit previously, not only about captioning, but also about looping. But before we get to that, we do have someone on the phone. Julie, are you there?
Yes. My question is, I have a friend, and her daughter is 28, and she's deaf. She had meningitis when she was like 2 years old, and she had no hearing. So at the age of 11, she got a cochlear implant, which she wasn't geared to do that because she was deaf. The whole thing, you know, everybody speaks sign language. Anyway, it ended up going through the washing machine and the dryer, and it was quite expensive back then, as it is still today. Anyway, this girl has chosen to be deaf. Uh-huh. But personally, in society today, it's better to be hearing. And so is there a would she fit into this group since she's deaf?
I'm glad that you asked that. I think that she probably would fit in because we have several members already who use American Sign Language as their primary mode of communication. And if your friend or if your friend's daughter, if that's her primary mode of communication, there will be people at our group for her to talk to. And so I would encourage her to come out. And of course, captioned movies should be accessible to her really regardless of whether she speaks or signs. And so I would encourage her to come.
I was going to say, she has a college education and she keeps changing careers, finding, you know, a place for her since she's deaf. But I'm thinking if she's a part of you, maybe she would like to choose hearing.
Yeah, and you know, I think this would be the perfect opportunity for her to meet other young adults in the same situation. And I think it's really important that we don't label whether someone's, you know, hearing is good and hearing impaired is bad, because if you've been listening to the show, Patrick was talking about how he spent his last 20 some odd years dealing with the fact that he was hearing impaired. And so she just has to find that place where she's comfortable. And I would encourage her to come to this group. And thank you so much for calling. And hopefully you'll give her that information so she can be there.
So his group is called Here at Tucson.
That's exactly it.
Okay, she's really gorgeous, dynamic. I'm going to really pursue this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks so much. So there are many different ways to help people with hearing loss interface with media, with people. Captioning is one of them. And so this event that you're doing, where whether someone has a mild, moderate, severe, or profound hearing loss, the captioning will allow them to enjoy the movie. But one of the other ways is through looping. And I know that you are you on the board now of Aloha?
I am.
Okay, so Aloha has been very, very instrumental in educating people in terms of loops, which are basically electromagnetic devices that we can put around a room or around a facility. And then if someone wears a hearing aid that their audiologist has programmed with a telecoil, they can pick up whatever is coming through the PA or speaker system right into their hearing aids. We've talked on the show in the past how the Aloha Group in Green Valley has been so proactive. Almost all of the meeting facilities, so many of the churches down there are looped. And when we see our patients down there, we hardly would ever fit someone with hearing aids without a telecoil. Tucson isn't quite there yet, but Patrick, I am convinced that with you you being involved with Aloha here in Tucson, you'll probably help change that for us.
I really hope to. It's definitely one of our goals, one of our priorities for this year is to start working with the university, with businesses, and, performance venues around the community to convince them just what a useful resource loops are, obviously for people with hearing loss, but for them as well. The reality is it's not just about doing the right thing, about doing a good thing to help people with hearing loss and enjoy these resources. It's economically, it makes sense. There's a massive community of people with hearing loss here in Tucson and around the country, you know, more than 50 million. And many of them are deprived of the opportunity of going to the movie theater, of many times going to churches and other things like that, because there are no essentially there's no equipment or technology to allow them to be able to hear and participate. And so I think it really is a winning argument, and we're definitely going to focus on that for this year, and hopefully we'll make some progress.
That's great. That's great. Anything that you want our listeners to know about here at Tucson, about your experiences that we haven't talked about?
I think it's always difficult to summarize, you know, and I feel that here at Tucson, it really has so much potential, in large part thanks to the support of some leaders here in the community. Aloha is one. Another is the Department of Speech and Hearing Sciences at the University of Arizona, led by Fran Harris and Cass Foe. They've been just so supportive of our efforts. And, I think that there really is great potential for this group. I encourage everyone to come out and to get involved. And just in general, I encourage anyone with hearing loss to make an effort to meet others who've had that experience, who really can relate. It's an incredibly powerful thing to be able to sit down with a person who really knows where you're coming from. And it's something which is too rarely experienced by people with hearing loss. And so that would just be my general recommendation. My specific recommendation would be to come to our movies on Saturday the 29th from 12 to 5.
Great. Great. And then your hope is that there will be an event monthly, and
Absolutely.
That's your goal.
Our goal is to host a monthly social event, really just exploring Tucson. And it can be anything from going to restaurants to taking hikes to going to sporting events. Really, there's the sky is the limit, and our goal is just to break barriers in the community, and at the same time to really advance our cause.
Great. Well, I certainly, after spending some time with you today, I know that if anybody can do it, that you can do it, and I would encourage anyone, whether it's a parent suspecting that your child might have hearing loss, or a loved one suspecting your spouse, or even someone suspecting that they themselves have a hearing loss, to not delay in being evaluated, because there is so much good, fabulous, actually, in technology today, and that there are so many ways that we can improve your life, and we don't want you to be isolated, and we encourage you to seek help for it. So I want to thank Patrick for being with us today. This was eye-opening for me, and speaking for Arizona Hearing Specialists, I support you and want to definitely be more involved with this group because it's so important. I hope that you have learned something today for those of you that are listening that will help you improve your quality of life. And please tune in next Sunday at 2 p.m. for Hearing Matters, and tell your family and friends to listen in too. So thanks so much, and we'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Hearing Matters with Dr. Janice Gash. Join us again next Sunday at 2 p.m. on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. And to make an appointment at Arizona Hearing Specialist, call 742-2845. Hearing Matters, helping you hear your best.